cannot come to terms with the amount of damage that is going to be done to our tourism sector, which has already suffered enormously, as have so many other economic sectors in South Africa since March 27th last year. But the announcement of our epidemiological expertise, we've identified this new variant, and what, 24 hours later, Britain's put us on the red list, and country after country after country after country says we don't want you and we don't want anybody from the countries surrounding you. And the damage that that is going to do to those brave souls who've managed to hold on into the tourism sector and who are looking at quite decent bookings for December, January, February, March, peak tourist season. Chris Gilmore is a very highly regarded analyst in the retail sector and joins us now via Zoom. Chris, a very good afternoon.
John, good afternoon to you.
I mean, you know the sector inside out. You study it daily, and the potential damage is truly crippling.
Well, in fact, you say potential damage. It's already there. It's been highly damaged, as you rightly say. I mean, they struggled through 2020, and we thought when they were taken off the red list in October that, by Jove, here we go, it's going to be a nice season, a nice inbound tourist season. And then, as you say, a classic case of shooting the messenger. You know, Tulio de Oliveira at Seri, he did all of the hard work in terms of genome sequencing. He went and said, listen, guys, this could be a variant of concern. And what did he get for his efforts? I mean, they closed South Africa down effectively. As you rightly say, started off with the UK banging us back onto the red list, and then pretty much every single other country under the sun did exactly the same thing. It's a stupid, knee-jerk reaction, and it achieves precisely nothing apart from making the tourist industry that much less viable in even the short term.
But what we get is we get Antony Blinken, the U.S. Secretary of State, saying, oh, well done, guys. Your scientists are fantastic and temporary measure. But, you know, we got to do it to protect ourselves. We have Sajid Javid, the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care in the U.K., saying exactly the same thing, applauding the scientists and saying, well, we've got to protect our own people, you know. And it's really hard to see them changing their mind, particularly because they will be looking at the rapidly accelerating numbers in South Africa, and they'll be looking at our disclosure that a growing majority percentage of those numbers are down to this variant, and they'll be quietly patting themselves on the back and say, you see, we're doing right to not allow them in here and make it difficult for our people to get there.
Yes, look, I can see that kind of very simplistic, warped logic. But in fact, if you look at it in a bit more detail, and I would refer you to there's an article in The Economist from about August this year, and they said quite categorically, these blanket bans on travel, they actually don't work. Because for the simple reason, viruses neither understand nor respect international boundaries. And I would put money on this Omicron variant pretty much being embedded in most countries around the world already. Now, if that is the case, and I'm pretty sure it is the case, but if that is the case, then what on earth are these countries doing with these selective bans? And by the way, they're only 10 countries, and guess where they are? All in Africa. Now, you can be a bit more explicit about it and say, well, this is discriminatory, xenophobic, even racist. I'm perhaps not going quite that far, but it's certainly discriminatory. And, you know, there are many other ways to do this. What you can do, for example, is to say, right, we're going to have far greater degrees of testing at the border for everybody, for all concerned, not just for the people coming in from Africa, but from everywhere. That is fairer, and it's not just fairer, but it's much more logical, because that way, if people are bringing in this and any other variant, you'll catch them. But no, they're insisting on having this idiot blanket ban that it achieves absolutely nothing, as I say, other than putting our travel industry really under an awful lot more pressure than it really didn't need at this point in time.
I mean, it's a truism to say that it's politics, but that's essentially what it is. It's them positioning yes. themselves as protectors of the great British citizenry or the great American citizenry or the great Ukrainian citizenry, because that's the latest country to ban access to people from the south. And I mean, I don't think there is an argument that can be made. I was talking to Alan Windey, our premier, just before you, Chris, and he was saying he'd been engaging with tourism authorities and the London Chamber of Commerce in London, and he'd been putting the case to them, and they listen very sympathetically and tut tut tut, and then go away and be quite glad that they don't have to sit next to a South African on the tube, even though the Brit that they're sitting next to on the tube might well have Omicron and might well have got it before we identified it to the world.
Yes, you're right. Look, there is one glimmer of hope, and I put it no stronger than that. And the article that I had in the Business Day, I think yesterday, kind of alluded to this. Dr. Angelique Kutsia, who chairs the South African Medical Association, she's in private practice herself and has seen about 40 patients with Omicron. And she describes the symptoms as being extremely mild. Other publications have described this as being super mild. I think there is a good possibility. And look, we're a bit early yet. We have to get much more clinical evidence, of course. But if it's shown that, in fact, the Omicron variant is it results in extremely mild symptoms, albeit with much greater transmissibility, well, what on earth is the problem?
Exactly.
Yes, more people will get it, but they won't die. And that,
they won't need a hospital,
is the thing. Precisely.
I've been following very, very closely the reports from around the world where countries identify someone who is tested positive and then Omicron is identified. And there's only one report which has had that person being in hospital, although without severe symptoms. And we're talking about a universe internationally at the moment of around 80-100 cases which have been definitively identified. And only one of those is in hospital, and that with not particularly serious symptoms. So again, as you say, Chris, it's too early to say it's anything more than a glimmer, but at least that glimmer is there.
No, absolutely. And look, we'll require a couple of weeks, about 2 weeks. And that's what Sajid Javid has said. Maybe a little bit longer. Problem is this, John, that this is coming at precisely the worst time. I mean, December, as you know, is peak tourist season. And the last thing the South African tourist season is to lose a December. And if it goes into January and you lose January as well, by Jove, you know, there's not an awful lot left in the season, maybe February and March.
Chris Gilmore, retail analyst, thank you very, very much indeed. And if the flight bans are lifted, then people who had booked, are they going to book again, or are they going to go, I really don't want to take the chance that it suddenly fires up again? It looks like the fire's been put out, but the gust of oxygen comes along and off it goes, and then I'm trapped in South Africa. So I think the appetite to travel to South Africa, even though it is now legally easier in terms of the return, I'm not sure the appetite is going to be there.